is a taste of the new. A taste of the new. Now, I enjoyed seeing last week the looks on people's faces when they stood at the table being served some wonderful food. And it's a blessing to see Ron and Letitia here today. Letitia, over the years, provided that special blessing with her ability to make wonderful food that just made everybody happy. And one of the things that we hear over time, something in here I want to grab, something that we hear over time is we're all familiar with this, right? The plate. And last week, I was like, when I purchased the plates, I said, you better not cheap out. You better get some that can what? Handle the load. Because when we would have food activities here in this building, sometimes it'd make me nervous because I'd hear that little plate go. But over the years, a common response that we hear about our life is, I got too much on my plate. Yeah. Heard that before, right? Well, why doesn't that apply when we're in the buffet line? But in life, in all honesty, we feel sometimes, and we'll use this statement, there is just too much on my plate. Now, my first question is, who put it there? And I'm talking about life's plate. Who added to our plate? And sometimes it's our own choices that we make. Sometimes it's our own steps and mistakes. We'll load up things that should not what? Be there. But life is more complicated than that. Because sometimes things come to our plate. Let's see if I can find it in here. Sometimes things come to our plate. Sometimes things come to our plate that we put on there ourselves, right? But then there's other times. Will you help me out this morning? There are other times we didn't ask for it, but somebody what? You put it on. You know what to do. And what is put on? That's enough. What is put on our plate we didn't want? We carry stuff that doesn't fit what our design was. You know, these are lying plates. You know it. You know why they're lying plates? Because there's only three sections. And you know when you get to that buffet line, it's going to be more than three choices, right? But in life, when things are added to our plate, sometimes we put them there. Sometimes others put them there. But the fact is, sometimes our plate can be too full. Here's my question this morning. What's on your plate? What did you put there? And what did someone else put there? The reality is this, that plate is in our hands and in our care because that plate is our life. And what is on our plate matters because it is something that we digest and it's something that we contend with. But I'm here this morning to celebrate this fact. There's more than just the old that's on our plate. If we have been born again, God has placed upon our plate the new. And again, the title of today's message is A Taste of the New. When we are born again, God tells us that we become a new creation. Only when we are born of the Spirit can we taste the new. Only when we experience God placing within us a new heart can we approach this plate that has so many things on it and truly feed upon the new. And when I say that, when you've been born again, you know what it's like to have a new heart. If all we have is a religion is not the new. It is a new pattern that we embrace. It is some new thoughts or ideologies that we adhere to. But what Jesus came to do was to create in us a new creation, and that new creation eats in a whole different way. Psalm 34:8 tells us this. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Now, why is Scripture using something that we really relate to is our ability to taste. Because God knows our diet matters to us. We connect to that which we what? We eat, that we taste. And God is telling us that new creation that I formed and made you will eat in a whole different way and will truly taste. Again, taste and see the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Now, food is called comfort food, isn't it? And people take refuge in their food. Especially, Letitia gave my wife the ability to create macaroni like Letitia's. And I still say thank you for the comfort food of... Because we do take refuge in our food, even though sometimes the old will come back and what? And cause some other things that aren't refuge. However, what God is encouraging us about is that when we taste of him and take that which is on our plate that is the new, we are blessed and it is a refuge to us. But here's the thing. Are we tasting the new? Are we just overloaded upon our plate with the old? Refuse to allow the old to dominate your diet. If we're going to grow as born-again believers, we got to know how to taste the new. The fullness of the new awaits us. Now, I want to look at something that's a challenge. But the taste of the new that we experience upon this earth is only a glimmer of the fullness to come. What we experience now of tasting of the new, the food that comes from the very presence of God, we only have a glimmer of it upon this earth, and we must maintain within our hearts through his ability that the fullness of the new will come. But right now, we don't see the whole picture. So that is why when our plate gets loaded down with the old, sometimes it's hard to even partake of the new because we're so distracted. 1 Corinthians 13:12 tells us this. For now we see only a reflection. This is Paul talking to the church. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Now, I don't know about y'all, this morning when I looked in the mirror, it was screaming truth to me. It was high definition truth. How many of y'all when you wake up in the morning say, I ain't putting on my glasses when I look in the mirror? Because the high definition gets even more real. I remember hearing different people that work in television say, don't bring the HD. Don't bring the HD. Because the HD brings the clarity and the reality. And I guarantee you, some people resigned after a while going home watching their video on HD compared to what it used to be. But let me say this about mirrors. When this was written, mirrors were not like they are today. How many of y'all went to a school that didn't trust you with a mirror in the bathroom? Raise your hand. I did. They didn't trust us with a mirror in the bathroom. So you know what they put on the wall? Some stainless steel, just a piece of metal. So you go up there and you're like, back when I could do that. And you just have to kind of figure it out. Because it was just like a mirror reflection. And sometimes when I wake up, I say, baby, get the stainless steel mirror for me. That's the image that Paul is speaking of here. For now, we see only a reflection as in a mirror. We get a partial understanding, not the clarity, not the details. Then we shall see, say this with me, face to face. Now I know in part, this is Paul speaking. Then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. We're only getting glimmers now, guys. We're only getting parts right now. So don't get discouraged. The new is going to encompass everything in our eternity. But right now, we're contending with the other stuff on our plate. Some that we dished out and put on there. But some of the stuff came from others. And let's just say it. The biggest supplier to the plate is just life itself. Because we live in a fallen world. We contend with a fallen nature. And there's stuff coming to our plate. How do we taste the new? How do we taste the new? How do we taste the new? We taste the new, and this is the first one that we'll look at today, and then others we'll talk about in the next message. We taste the new by drinking from the river of the water of life. Now hold on a minute. We walk through, verse by verse, through Revelation chapter 21. And we celebrated where we're heading. We celebrated the fact that God is going to create a whole new earth and a whole new heaven. And it's going to be where we live for all eternity. And this is another thing we touched base on. These old bodies that wear out and that we have to contend with. We're going to be given new bodies that are going to be real bodies. But they won't ever touch decay or death because they are eternal. But they're real. Heaven is going to be a place that is real, that we have purpose, and that we have dimensions that we do not have upon this earth. And it's going to be beyond our ability to comprehend. It's not going to be a cloud with a harp that we just chilling on. No, no. There's purpose. But here, today, we're reminded that sin entered this earth as Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden in perfect condition. God walking with them in the garden, everything was perfect. It was God's intention, His order. And then man, given free will, chose to take his authority and place it above God's through the deception of Satan, the serpent. And death came upon the heart of man. And no longer could we taste of that living water. No longer could we eat from the tree of life. And death and decay entered this world. But here's the hope, and here's the reality. God is going to restore Eden. What his intentions were for Adam and Eve before the fall is going to be ours. Because of what Jesus did, we are going to live in a new heaven and a new earth with the new Jerusalem, the city of God. And that's going to be our eternal place of awesomeness. Yeah? It's going to be wonderful. And here, as the book of Revelation begins to wind down and conclude, not conclude in our hearts, but to conclude in its chapters, The promise, these words are trustworthy, they're true, and they're giving you an image that you need to have in your heart and in your mind, because life is a challenge. The old weighs us down and changes our perspective of why we are even here. And then I would even say, what's the purpose? Because life is hard. I was talking to someone this week that got diagnosed with a condition that the doctor said, not much more time. And they have lived a long life. And then as I get older, I think, where's this going, God? He tells us, you're going to have trials, tribulations, suffering, and you have an allotted amount of time on this earth before the fruit of death becomes you. But it's all right, because your destiny is not the grave. Your destiny is not the pain, the mourning, and the suffering. That's just what's on your plate right now. But I've come and I've given you the new. So while you're here, eat of the new. Taste of the new. And I will strengthen you and get you through this life, because I got plans for you here, and I got plans for you in the new heaven and the earth that is coming. Plans. Plans. How do we taste the new? We taste the new again by drinking from the river of the water of life. What is that, Pastor? Well, let's look at Revelation chapter 22, verse 1. Again, John, the Apostle John, is being given these images and these realities about where we're heading as humans so that he could write them down so that today we would be able to have some pictures in our heart and in our minds of what's coming. God didn't want us to wander without direction and without hope. That's why he gave us the word. And then the angel showed me, this is John speaking, then the angel showed me the river of the water of life. John's brought into this image of the new heaven and the new earth. And here he's seeing something that should sound a little familiar to us. And then the angel showed me the river of the water of life. And look at this, as clear as crystal. Flowing, think about this, flowing from the throne of God and the Lamb. Endless, eternal supply of the water of life, the living water. The source is God and the Lamb, which is one. The source is not what happens in how I manage this life, no. The source isn't about what's on my plate. The source is God. And in this new heaven and new earth, as in the Garden of Eden, that river is going to run freely and eternally without any impurity in it at all. And sourced by the greatest thing that we can put our trust in. I'm not saying thing. The greatest source that we can put our trust in, God Almighty. The Lamb who died for us is the source. I find it interesting. When people talk about my plate is full, that carries a negative connotation to it. Plate's full, back off. Too much on my what? Plate. But I find it interesting. Here we go again to diet, to what we consume. Well, I got to do this. But when it comes to the cup, my cup is full to overflowing, right? Sounds good. My cup is full, full ain't enough, to overflowing. Back off from my plate, got too much on it. Fill it, fill it, fill it, fill it, fill it, fill it. Now, there might be some other things going on there, but we're not talking about the old, we're talking about the new. The cup represents your soul, your spirit. It represents your existence. Is it full to overflowing? Or is it just bone dry? What is it? Because just like the plate, some stuff I can help that's on it. Some things I put on it myself. Some things others put on it, life puts on it. But if it's going to have good stuff on it, just like last Sunday, we got to get in line. And we got to look closely and say, I appreciate it all, but this is going to take up section A on my plate, right? The cup is designed, your heart, your soul, your spirit, your life is designed to be filled with living water. As this company over here sought to fill our community with substance that brings harm and decay, Jesus has come to fill our cup with living water that feeds and provides that new life, growing greater and greater and greater. See, in this image, then the angel showed me the river of the water of life as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. This image of us walking by the banks of the river of life for all eternity, always overflowing with living water that feeds us and doesn't destroy us. Nothing like drinking from the water of life. And one of the greatest ways that we drink from the water of life is encountering the Word of God. For our day will be dry, but when we pick up that scripture and allow God to speak into us, the water, the living water, is poured into our soul. And as we come before God, His intentions is not to keep us dry. His intention is to fill us to overflowing. And I promise you this, in your journey to drink of the living water, there's going to be times where you feel it's just not enough right now. We're going to go through dry seasons, but what do? We keep going to the source because God knows exactly the amount that we need. And there's some times of dryness that allows us to dig deeper to the things of God. It has purpose. It's preparation. It's trials, tribulation, with the goal of strengthening us. On this earth, we must push through the many distractions that deter us from drinking the water of life. What is your prayer? Lord, fill my cup to overflowing. Come into my life. You know everything that's on my plate. You know the old that is weighing me down. Come, place upon my plate the new and teach me how to eat of the new. When the old comes and begins to weigh me down, Lord, come with your living water to help me digest the things that life brings to me. Fill my cup, Lord Jesus. Fill it to overflowing. But somebody here this morning says, I wish my life was just a plate. Because to be honest with you, it's not that my plate is full. It's more like I got a platter that's about to weigh me down. The stuff that's come against me, the things that I carry through this life, It's more like a platter, Pastor. The stuff that I'm contending with. Do we go there sometimes? Is this our reality sometimes? Yes, it is. Because the old will pour in with a force that we never expected. But the old cannot overcome the new. And no matter what is loaded in our lives, upon our plate or our platter, look closely. The new is there. But you got to want it. You got to want to eat from the new. Have you eaten from the new this week? Have you tasted of the new this week? It's like this. It's like I want to write a newspaper about the old on my plate. I'm going to write a book about the old on my plate. I'm going to get a podcast and talk about the old on my plate. Those things don't really happen, do they? But our words will communicate what we eat. And if we find ourselves constantly thinking and holding on and pronouncing and speaking of the old, then that lets us know what we're chewing on, what we're tasting. We don't deny the old that's there, but we focus in on the new and let God give us his perspective of dealing with the old. Fill my cup, Lord. Fill it to overflowing with living water, Lord Jesus. And then we see this promise in John chapter 7, verse 38. Look closely at this. The words of Jesus. Whoever believes in me, belief is more than a mental processing of agreement. The belief in Jesus is a trust within our hearts. Believe on me in your heart. Meaning, sell out to the new that God has created you to be. Believe with all of your heart, not just with your mind. There are plenty of people that agree that the Bible is the Word of God, but fewer live in that manner. I believe this with all my heart. The enemy is seated in an increasing attack against the Word of God to take not only this generation, but the generations that are being nurtured to be adults in the future. The enemy is coming in and he's telling you, doubt the word, doubt the word. Don't trust the word. The Bible is just a religious book. It has flaws. It's things that you don't trust in, when nothing could be further from the truth. The Bible is protected by God's heart and God's hand, that we trust it. And if we're going to live by a principle in this life, it's got to be greater than just our heart. It's got to be greater than what they teach us in our schools. It's got to be grounded on the Word of God. And if it's grounded on the Word of God, it's grounded on truth, and it will feed us with the new. Whoever believes in me, Jesus is saying, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow, where? From within them. That's something only God can give us. And he's telling us the water of life that's going to get you through is sourced by me. It's going to come in this earth with some old around it. Not in it, but around it. Don't be distracted. Because where you're going, you're going to walk by this river of living water forever and ever and ever. So hold on. Don't give up. Believe in me. Trust in my word. Rivers of living water will flow from within what? You. You're going to know what it's like to have the flowing of God's word and his presence in your life. What we struggle to taste now will have no hindrance in the new heaven and the new earth. None. But there's some hindrance right now. Don't let it block the way. Eden is going to be restored. We will be in the condition that God intended at the very beginning of the Garden of Eden. And it will be glorious. And it's going to be so much better than anything that we can manipulate upon this earth. Revelation 22:1 again. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and the Lamb. Don't forget the source. Don't forget where the living water comes from. This week might be really difficult for you. The patterns that we establish, the habits that we establish, will determine what's in our cup and what's upon our plate. How do we taste the new? We taste the new by drinking from the river of the water of life. And that river, his name, is Jesus. Don't let anything take you from what he's created you to be. My prayer to the Lord and our prayer to the Lord, I hope this morning, is this: increase my appetite for the new, Lord. When I look at my plate and all the old is cluttered upon it, may I pierce and see and look for the new that you've provided. Your word stands ready to communicate your heart to me. Let me take time to get in your word. Let me let your words come and minister to me, so that when I meet the words of the world around me, I know how to process them. Lord, give me strength and wisdom to overcome the old. When it's gone from too much on my plate to too much on my platter, give me wisdom and give me strength to overcome the old. And Lord Jesus, as we bow in prayer this morning, whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from them. I'm going to ask if we can stand to our feet this morning. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The gospel.